You're listening to Politics Up Close here on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. Joe Dimma is no stranger to campaigning. The Republican candidate for Salt Lake County Council served as Utah Governor Gary Herbert's campaign manager in 2010, and before that was his chief of staff in the lieutenant governor's office. Now he's vying for this seat on the Salt Lake County Council, hoping to win a primary election later this month and to defeat longtime Democratic incumbent Jim Bradley this November. He joins me now in the studio to discuss how he plans to do that, along with his ideas and experience. And Joe, it's good to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Listeners, join us on the air with your questions and comments for Salt Lake County Council candidate Joe Dimma. Our number is 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. Well, Joe, how far back does your involvement in politics in Utah go exactly?
Well, it all began in late 2003 when I got a call to assist what I would call a fledgling gubernatorial candidate from Utah County named Gary Herbert. And I came to Utah and never left.
And so how did you kind of get that call and come to join the governor and lieutenant governor's office there?
Sure. So I worked for a company that did a little consulting for candidates in a few states, and one of them was in Utah. And they asked for an analysis on the governor's race in Utah. And so I came into Utah and did a quick shot on the nine people running for governor in Utah, specifically what the chances were of Gary Herbert coming out of convention and winning the office, and quickly realized that that was going to be a tough hurdle, and was then sort of enlisted to work with Jason Chaffetz, who was running Governor Huntsman's campaign, to see if we couldn't find a happy compromise between the two campaigns. We did. Commissioner Herbert at the time asked me to stay on through different cycles of the campaign. First, it was the convention to assist him and Governor Huntsman through the convention. We got through that. We did have a primary election in 2004, if you recall, against Nolan Karras. Commissioner Herbert asked me to stay on through the primary. I agreed to do that. I moved into his basement and never left. Well, I did leave his basement, but I never left Utah.
So are there any particular accomplishments that you're proud of from your time working for the governor?
Sure. When we realized that that Herbert would become the lieutenant governor, we started to analyze what the office actually did, not just be the number two and support the governor, but what were the mechanical roles that the lieutenant governor's office employed. First up to bat was a $30 million Help America Vote Act program that we had to implement. We actually had our very first day in office, took over the Help America Vote Act, which basically said you had to redo your thinking on paper ballots, and we had to come up with a plan to actually make voting safe and secure in the wake of the presidential election of 2000. So that was a program that we implemented statewide. It was a $24 million implementation of electronic voting machines, which at the time, voting machines across the country were, you heard horror stories about voting machines being hacked and exploding, you know, on impact kinds of things. And in Utah, we were able to implement that system safely, securely, and with 98% voter approval. So we were really proud of that. One of the things we did in that office to help mitigate the cost of those machines, because county clerks across the state were saying, this $24 million isn't going to buy us the quantity of machines we need. You know, in many instances, you would have 8 or 9 paper ballot stations, and that was going in some cases to 3 or to 2 voting machines, and everyone was worried about long lines actually meeting the demand of the voters. And so what we did is we came up with a legislative package that included some options that would help mitigate the flow on election day. Most importantly, early voting. We offered the legislature a program that would enlist early voting. We moved it through the legislature, did get that passed. And what that did is it opened up for 2 weeks prior to election day. You could actually go and cast your ballot. And what that did was it did ease up the flow on election day. We knew it wouldn't happen immediately, but it would happen over time. And what happened was we implemented it, and the very first time we ran it in 2006, we had a 10% turnout in early voting, which was the highest turnout of any first-time implementation of early voting across the country. Currently, it's at over 50%. So what county clerks across the state would probably tell you is that it's a program that is successful, succeeding, and has helped mitigate some of the costs not having to purchase additional voting machines.
We're speaking with Joe Dema, a Republican candidate for Salt Lake County Council. Join us on the air at 801-355-8255. We'll take a phone call in just a couple of minutes here. But first, Joe, with all your experience in state government, why'd you decide to run for the county council? Why not, say, the legislature or some other office like that?
Fundamentally, the county, I believe, has got some budget problems, and more importantly, it's got some management of the budget problems. Whenever I join an organization, you start off with the idea, what does good look like? And when Governor Huntsman asked me to join his senior staff, to us, good looked like lowering taxes, respecting the taxpayer, and doing more with less. And that's exactly what we did on our way to having Utah become the best managed state in America. In the lieutenant governor's office, good looked like deploying a safe and secure election system. And that's exactly what we did. And on the way, we saved taxpayers over $25 million with our innovative legislative package on early voting and common polling place amendments. Currently at Workforce Services, for us, good looks like finding employment for folks, taking care of those who are most vulnerable in the community, and transitioning them into employment. And oh, by the way, saving taxpayer dollars, which we've done just in the last year of about $13 million. And at the county, what good looks like is not having a $1 billion budget and then calling for tax increases. And that's currently what's going on. Salt Lake County budget is about 10 figures now, $957 million. And county staff will tell you that the Salt Lake County library system is about to go into the red if they don't raise taxes. So right now on the table is a 25% tax increase for the Salt Lake County Library System. And it's my view that if you've got a $1 billion budget, you shouldn't have programs going bankrupt, certainly not the library system. You know, at Workforce Services, we've got a $1.5 billion budget, and we're not looking for more money. We're finding ways to cut it because we know that the federal tax dollars are going nowhere but down, and we've got to prepare and plan for that reality. In Salt Lake County, you've got Holiday left, Cottonwood Heights left. They moved the police stuff out of the budget into a special service area. You've got Mill Creek talking about incorporating. You've got a revenue stream that is decreasing, yet they're trying to keep spending at the same level and now raise taxes. And I think there needs to be a fundamental change in how that county is viewed and managed.
And let's go to the phones now. We have Eric calling from Draper. Eric, what's your question or comment for Salt Lake County Council candidate Joe Dema?
Well, I'm just ready for some change in Salt Lake County, so I'm wondering, what's it going to take to beat Jim Bradley in the upcoming election?
Interesting question, Eric. Jim Bradley, an incumbent of many years, not only the Salt Lake County Council, but the commission before that. Do you have what it takes to do it, and how would you do it, Joe?
Well, first of all, thanks for the call, Eric. I'm not immune to the idea that Jim Bradley's a tough opponent. I certainly recognize that. I respect his time on the council. He's been in county government for the better part of 30 years. I do view him as part of the current problem and the shape that we're in, and I would like to have that seat and change the ideas there. What it's going to take to beat Jim Bradley is what it took for us in 2010 to beat Peter Caroon. It's openness, honesty, and hard work. You've got to understand where the county voters are, where you need to talk to them. I'm not going to outspend Councilman Bradley. But I'm certainly going to outwork him. And it's not a race that you can just, that's going to be on the top of the headlines. It'll be a general election that features presidential candidates, Romney and Obama, and, right. And our governor will be there. The Senate race will be there. And certainly in the county level, the mayor's race will suck up all of the oxygen in the room. And you've got to have the focus, drive, and energy to actually outwork him. And I'm prepared to do that. In 2010, no one would have believed that Gary Herbert from Orem would come into Salt Lake County and beat a mayor who had an 80% approval rating, and we did just that thing. We beat Peter Caroon in 2010, and I'm here to tell you, if we can beat a popular Democrat in Salt Lake County, we certainly can beat a quasi-unpopular one.
So Joe, when it comes to the budget issues, you know, there's been a lot of talk in recent years about the bonding, for example, the Hogle-Zoo bond of 2008. Mayor Caroon's proposed a parks bond. What's your philosophy when it comes to these voter-approved bonds, and do you think the council's role is to act as a gatekeeper to prevent the citizens from voting to raise their own taxes, or are you more in favor of letting these things go to the ballot for voters to decide?
I certainly support bond measures going to the ballot and voting on them. I've voted for them in the past and voted against some as a voter. But I think you need to be honest with the voters. And this is not just a one-time sort of bond. Everyone is going to vote for parks. It's what you need and it's what you want. But you've got to be honest with the population when you're proposing them. It's not just a one-time deal. You've got to look long-term at maintenance of it. You've got to project for that. They need to understand the exact financials. Otherwise, you get the situation we're in now. We've got a $200 million deferred maintenance problem on our parks and recreation system, which means we do not have the money currently to pay for maintaining the parks we have. And Peter Caroon and Jim Bradley are proposing to us a bond for new parks and new recreation systems. So we can't even maintain the ones we have, and these guys want a bond for new ones. And I'm going to tell you that that's akin to my wife and I, you know, maxing out a credit card, and then instead of doing the responsible thing and actually paying it down, going to just a different bank and getting a new credit card. It doesn't work in my house, and it shouldn't work for the county, you know?
And, Joe, one of the most contentious issues we have on the county level right now is the Ski Link proposal linking Solitude and Canyons Resorts, an issue that's split county government with Mayor Peter Caroon opposing it and opposing the federal legislation looking to kind of move this process along, whereas County Councilman Michael Jensen is in support of it. Where do you come down on this issue right now?
I support the concept. I support the idea. You know, if we're going to talk about legitimate economic development in this county, which is the way I think you fix the budget proposals, I think economic development is the rising tide that lifts all ships, and we have to provide a strong economic development focus in the county. And I think the Ski Link is an interesting idea. At the expense of our watershed and our natural resources, I'm not so sure, but I'm not entirely convinced that it would do that. So I do support the idea and the concept, and I'd be willing to sit down and visit with anybody pro or con about it.
Let's go back to the phones now. Carl calling from Salt Lake City. What's your question or comment for Joe Dema?
Yeah, first, Joe, thank you for running. Appreciate your opportunity to serve. I want to know what one thing you think you can do to help rescind the police fee, and is it the incumbent you're going after a driving factor behind having that happen to begin with?
Question about the police fee. I think the police fee has already been overturned, if I'm not incorrect. Joe?
You are correct. Thanks for your call, Carl. Jim Bradley was the godfather of the police fee. You know, he was the chairman of that whole idea. His name went on all the notices, which had California, you know, return addresses on there. I think it's not what you do, but how you do it. And in that instance, that entire situation was bungled so badly, they had no choice but to rescind it. I'm glad they did. It'd be the first thing I would do as a councilman. But it goes to the idea of how you manage and what you do. If you need to raise revenue for the police, you have to do it in a better way. It's got to be more open. The public have to understand it, and you got to manage the entire process better than how he did it. Raising taxes is the absolute worst option. Like I said before, you've got a $1 billion budget overall, and you're needing to raise taxes on folks. Now, I understand the difference between the municipal services budget and the general fund budget, and you can't mingle those two together. Mm-hmm. But if you're properly managing any budget, you shouldn't be having the tax shortfalls that you have, because I'm here to tell you that there's no budget problem that just comes in overnight. You see it coming. It's coming down the tracks. You can prepare for it. You can modify. You can manipulate your systems to address it. It's what we do at the state level, and it's what we need to do at the county level.
So, Joe, we've talked about your race against Jim Bradley. You also have a primary election later this month against Mel Nimer, who is also a president of the Utah Log Cabin Republicans. He's your opponent in that election. What do you think of Mel, and do you think your chances are pretty solid?
Melvin is a nice enough guy. He's run for office before, and I appreciate his willingness to run. I don't know that he has what it takes to actually defeat Jim Bradley in November, which is what I'm most concerned about. I can tell you between the two of us, we'd both do a better job than Councilman Bradley. You know, it's a race that currently has 67% undecided. So if anyone was to say they had a bead on how this race is going to go, they're just not being honest with you. But we're out there working hard every day, every evening, and on the weekends to get the message out, introduce ourselves to voters, and hope that they're interested in what we have to say.
So, Joe, the council is currently split 5-4, Republicans and Democrats. After this election, it could be 5-4 again. It could be 6-3. What are your thoughts on bipartisanship? Are you somebody who can compromise with Democrats, or do you think that compromise means trying to get as much as of your ideas in as possible and as little as of the opponent's ideas in as possible?
The idea that to reach across the aisle and compromise is somehow showing weakness, I think, is a flawed idea. If I learned anything from Governors Huntsman and Herbert, it's that you, in fact, need to incorporate all ideas into any decision-making process. And with a 5-4, 6-3 council, you've got 8 other colleagues that you need to support your ideas. And it becomes a very quick game of helping manage those personalities and the politics there, and absolutely there are going to be votes where you've got Democrat support and others where you don't. And you absolutely have to reach across the aisle, no question about it.
And finally, Joe, why does this race matter? You know, this election, obviously you talked about the county mayor's race sucking up the oxygen and the governor's race, Senate race, presidential race will all be on the ballot. Why should people pay attention when they get down to the part of the ballot that says Salt Lake County Council? Why is it important?
I think that the races down the ballot end up being often those that are impacting the communities the most directly and the most quickly. The county council is very important. It's a 6-year seat. It's managing, like I said, a $1 billion budget. The mayor can't get anything done without the council's approval. Hmm. And so those that are on the council help shape the direction of the county. And I'm excited to be a part of it, and I hope people do pay more attention.
We've been speaking with Joe Dema. He is a Republican candidate for Salt Lake County Council. We'll be in a primary election later this month. And if he wins, we'll face Jim Bradley, Democratic candidate in the general election. And Joe, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate having you on Politics Up Close.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
Politics Up Close is a production of KCBW News. Thanks to Jennifer Napier-Pierce for her help with the show today. Listen to the show every Friday morning at 9 and Sunday morning at 6 on KCBW, and download podcasts of our full interviews online at kcbw.org. I'm Jeff Robinson. Thanks for joining us.